Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are positively post-election and awaiting results. You'll find all of our thoughts and electoral college thoughts at Baltimore Positive. Ted Venatolis joined us earlier in the week. You'll find that former Governor Martin O'Malley, a bunch of others. But it is a sports week, and, you know, I'm wearing the royal blue of my partner Raskin Global here. Maybe it was his childhood thing. I'll have to ask him, because I know he was a Colts fan as a kid. Everybody in Baltimore was a Colts fan as a kid. You get to be 52, get a little silver in the beard. But then they came, and they took our franchise. And certainly,
but at least you're not bitter. At least you're not bitter. You're
you
over.
You always say that to me. Bob Kravitz joins us from Indianapolis, even though his hat has a Hartford Whaler. Hey, man, you know, Indianapolis at one time, they might have been one of those teams trying to steal the Hartford Whalers at one point, but they stole my heart and my childhood. But you know what, dude? All that angst I had 15 years ago, you come on the show and I'd be all crappy and be all Indianapolis. I'm kind of over it. You know that. And now it's just another game. And given what the Ravens have been through with the Steelers, given where America is, given the fact that Marlon Humphrey has COVID, Ronnie Stanley's got a broken foot, the whole week has been just an ish show, and I'm just thinking about skipping this one and watching it on TV, Kraft.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. It's a home game for us here in Indianapolis, and I might just watch it on TV as well. The numbers here are getting a little scary, and to be honest with you, if you've had any other writers on, you can't get any access to the players by being there that you couldn't get by doing what we're doing now, which is doing a Zoom interview. So it almost makes no sense to leave the house unless I have a tea time.
Yeah, I mean, and I hate to be the old sports writer guy, and you're the older sports writer guy who I love having all of the old line guys on who once had a column in a real newspaper that I sat, you know, somewhere in the media room and read, or somewhere in an airport and read, or stuffed in my bag on a Monday morning when I left the Hoosier Dome in 1996 to read, you know, or picked it up at the air. Like, I'm a newspaper guy, you know that.
I am too.
And there's so few of us left with this sort of perspective into any of how news is done. I mean, we had 70 million people vote for a guy who has just brazenly lied to everyone. Journalism's gone. Truth is gone. But I think more than anything, with COVID and politics and sports and all of this coming together in one place, this has been the wildest time ever, because for the first time in my life, sports just doesn't feel all that important. And I was in Philadelphia a couple weeks ago, and a guy who's a guy like you and me, you know, a lifer, you know, somebody that's been there, you know, you were there when it came off the boat, and you've written books, you do all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, there's an Eagles-Ravens game, you know, on a Sunday in October, and he said to me, it's about fifth on my list right now. And I'm thinking, but you live it every day. We all live it. But then sports went away. And for every guy like you that I haven't had on in 8 months, this has really been a strange, strange time to not have sports and then to have it all come back at once. And then for all of us to be really lukewarm about it in some, to some degree.
Yeah. You know, it, like today, I'm supposed to do a Colts Zoom around noon, you know, with Frank Reich and Philip Rivers. And you know, it just feels silly to me. I've gone through this wild crisis of confidence here in the last number of months, because clearly I've always known that what I do is not terribly important in the grand scheme of things.
Despite what the Patriots fans might have thought one time.
Yeah, the hell with them. but what I find is that I'm asking myself, what am I doing? I'm writing about non-existent sports, or I'm writing about sports that have just come back. Meanwhile, I got half an eye peeled on CNN 24/7. I went to bed at 3 o'clock last night after the Trumpster came out and made his ridiculous statement. And I mean, it feels insignificant. Sports just feel more insignificant than they've ever felt before to me.
Yeah, and I think the numbers reflect that, and I have built my whole life around sports. And Bob, you know, I've made the turn. I mean, I pivoted 2 years ago, started doing Baltimore Positive, because that's where my head was after Freddie Gray. That's where my head was after the second mayor here was indicted. and she's in cuffs now. And we just elected a new mayor yesterday who served on the city council. So I've gotten to know these people because I couldn't sell my condo 2 years ago. I can't get anybody to walk through my, you know, like the city is struggling. The country is struggling. And yet I will say this, and I've said this a lot over the last 8 weeks. Football on Sundays has been pretty good, right? I mean, if we're just going to talk about the football part of it and be two old sports writers as we really are and cut the fat about the Colts and the Ravens and who what Phillip Rivers means and these coaches, and from 1 to 4 on Sunday, it has been the one sort of suspension of everything else. And I'm appreciative for that, but not so appreciative that I think I'm going to fly to Indianapolis and sit on the roof in an empty stadium to literally wait for someone to get injured to report on it because the TV went to camera. You know, like that's the only thing I'm doing there really is figuring out who might be fighting on the bench.
You know, like I'd love to go to Tennessee in a couple of weeks because Colts have a massive game in Nashville. Plus it's in Nashville and I really enjoy Nashville. I just want to get the hell out of the house, to be honest with you. But, you know, the times, you know, if I'm a Corona bro, I guess that's what I am. But, you know, I had open heart surgery back in April, and I'm immunocompromised, and I don't know that I want to take any chances.
Well, you stay home.
In a very dangerous world.
Dr. Nestor says stay home, Kravitz.
All right, give me a note, doctor's note.
Signed, Epstein's mother, just like the old days. But exactly. Bob Kravitz is here. We're two old sports writers cutting it up here. You're at The Athletic now. You were at the paper forever. You did television, online, all blogging. You know, all remnants of all of that. Give me a little take on The Athletic and on that world, because Jeff Friebeck's our guy here. I go back, and I know you do as well, because you're a little older than me, I think. But I remember when I wanted to work at the National, you know, back in 85, 86, 87, in that era. And, you know, I worked amongst all of those old sports writers in that world and the Associated Press and all that. But The Athletic is sort of the 2020 version of that. And I've often wondered whether it was going to work or not, or how it's going to work. And, you know, I give them $30 a year or whatever, because I like to play along. But where's journalism going, Bob Kravitz?
It's going to pay sites. It's, you know, for the longest time, people got their journalism, they basically for free online. And, you know, what people tell me, well, we've never paid for it before. Why would we pay for it now? What I say is, I'm old enough to remember that we used to have 4 or 5 basic channels on TV. And then cable came out. People said, wait, I'm getting it for free. Why would I pay for cable? Well, you pay it for cable because it's a better product and it gives you more choices. And that's why everybody has cable. And the same thing is happening now. And I think The Athletic was smart enough that they made it a deal where it's all built on subscriptions. And I think that that's the future, because advertising doesn't produce the kind of money that you want on the internet. It's still the lifeblood of newspapers, what's left of them. But I think subscription sites are the way to go. And I think The Athletic, you know, the difference between the National and The Athletic is, I remember listening to Frank DeFord speak one time. The problem with the National was they couldn't get the damn thing distributed. Well, we don't have that problem. We are the National, but we have no problem getting it distributed. We're over 1 million subscribers. We're well on our way to 2 million and more. We're, I think, third biggest subscription site in the world already, and we've only been around for 3 years. So, and it's different for me, Nestor, because I'm not writing 4 columns a week or 5 columns a week. I'm doing more deep dives, more long form. I did a long piece on a guy you know, Rick Venturi. I did a long piece about Rick Venturi today, about his life and times and how he somehow maintained his sanity through a 348-1 head coaching record.
One of the all-time greats, though, right? Like, he was literally packing the boxes out in Owings Mills when the Colts left, right? Literally.
Well, yeah, if you read the story, his job was to take a screwdriver and take down all the whiteboards.
Because you couldn't leave those behind for the cops in Baltimore County.
Exactly. His job was to take down all the whiteboards and all the blackboards with a screwdriver and, you know, get the thing moving. He said it was one of the craziest nights of his life.
See, I knew the Mayflowers would come up with you, Kravitz. Just took 18 minutes is all it did.
Well, Baltimore readers may want to read this because Jim Irsay does talk about the Baltimore move in my story.
You know, he sat down with me, and I was working on a book about a dozen years ago, and he sat down with me for an hour, and I've never aired it. I found it recently, a whole video where he sat with me down in Florida at the owners' meetings and talked about all sorts of stuff that he had never talked about before, and I've never unearthed it. It may be time. It may be time at Baltimore Positive for us to put it all together. Bob Kravitz is here from The Athletic in Indianapolis. I'm glad you're doing well in the aftermath of your physical issues here. How are the Colts? And, you know, I don't know if there's going to be a game this week given COVID. And I know if there is a game, there won't be a Marlon Humphrey. There won't be a Ronnie Stanley. And our fortunes have certainly changed around here, right? Like from 14-2 last year and running the ball and Marshall Yanda and where's Lamar and now Ronnie Stanley's gone. John Harbaugh has a very, very tall task holding this thing together amidst the plague. But the Colts, to me, feel like they've gone in a much different direction from where they were with Pagano a couple, 3 years ago.
Well, they are a good team that would like to think that it's elite, but here's where the rubber meets the road is these next 4 weeks. You got Baltimore, Green Bay, and Tennessee twice. That's murderer's row for the Indianapolis Colts. Now they're 5-2. How good are they? I mean, they looked really good in a couple of blowouts against the Jets and Vikings. They looked really good against Detroit on the road this past week. But there have been weeks where they lost to Jacksonville, for crying out loud. They lost to Cleveland on a day when Phillip Rivers played terrible. So the one thing that makes me a little bit bullish about this Colts team at 5-2 as opposed to last year's Colts team, which was also 5-2 before losing 7 out of 9, is their defense is excellent. I mean, really excellent. Now, what's Lamar going to do against them? I don't know. But this team is top three in every defensive category known to man. And that, to me, travels. That, to me, makes them a more dangerous team than they were back 1 year ago when they fell completely apart.
I'd like to feel worse about the Steelers' loss than I do. Just the injury to Stanley kind of freaked me out. I mean, I'm sitting on the couch where I never am, like you, right? I'm always at the games, sitting at the couch. I put my Pizza John's cheesesteak in the oven, right? You know, just getting it warmed up. And the thing happened, and I turned to my wife, and I'm like, they can't win a Super Bowl without him. Right. Like, if he's really hurt and he's not going to be here, they'll win some games. They'll get to 10 or 11. But then I thought about the postseason, and I thought about losing the Steelers, and, like, they're undefeated. We're 2 games behind. Bob, we're so used to being 2 games behind. We've played for 2 decades now, a game or two behind Pittsburgh or Cincinnati this time of the year, always. We've never – only last year we were 14-2, but we've never been – like, Indianapolis was always 10-1, and Peyton was always on, you know, cruise control. We were never that way, and we're not that way now. And the weird part is whether they have to go to Pittsburgh or Indianapolis or wherever – full stadiums and the visiting thing and the home field advantage doesn't mean what it's meant over the first 100 years in the league.
Oh, of course. And the thing that would concern me, and I was watching one of the 900 pregame shows the other day, and they were talking about Lamar's numbers are down across the board. And look, I still think he's a fabulous quarterback and a deserving MVP and all that, but his numbers, I was looking at them, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're down across the board.
Well, in every way, because they've tried to change things. At first, like, he got hurt. You know, that's why he ran the ball twice, right? And then they started throwing the ball, and they got away with it. I mean, they're beating bad teams and handily in many cases, and handily because the defense took the ball away. The defense is in there punching it away, and they got away with it. This past week, they actually outplayed the Steelers mightily across the board and have nothing to show for it. The issue for them is what are they going to be, because they can't be a team where the quarterback runs headfirst in the linebacker 16 times a game, but they also aren't going to be a team where that quarterback's going to drop back and throw 35 or 40 times a game. Yeah. And now they got the wide receiver popping off on Instagram after the game because he only got targeted twice. Dude, you got drafted here. On a good day, they're going to throw the ball 22, 24 times if they're winning. They're not designed to do this. So they're really – they can't be held in a statistical way against – anyone else in the league because they don't try to play that way. Now it feels like they're trying to play that way. And Bob, when they play that way is when they fall behind, right? When they fall behind, they have to throw the ball and they don't fall behind often.
No, they don't fall behind. One of the things that's going to be key to this, Nestor, is the Colts getting an early lead because, correct me if I'm wrong, I thought I heard this on TV, that Baltimore under Lamar Jackson has never come back from 10 points or more deficit, which tells me that you've got to get out fast. You've got to get a lead and force him to become just a thrower. And that's problematic for the Ravens. I think we just have two teams that are trying to figure out where they are in the pecking order. I still look at Baltimore as being one of the elite teams that has a chance to win a Super Bowl despite some of the problems that they're having now. I don't know that the Colts have that as their ceiling. I think they can be a pretty good team. I think they can be a playoff team. I think they can maybe win a game in the playoffs if they have the right matchup. But I don't see it as a team with Phillip Rivers going real deep. I still think they need that. You know, the one thing that concerns me most, Nestor, is their running game, which was seventh in the league last year, is last in the league this year in yards per carry. Last. And, you know, they got some pretty good running backs. They did lose Marlon Mack, but you've got Jonathan Taylor, who was their second-round pick, Jordan Wilkins, Nyheim Hines. And you've got what we believe is the best, if not the best offensive lines in football. But they ain't getting it done. They are just not running the ball well. And that scares the hell out of me if I'm a Colts fan.
Bob Kravitz covers all things Colts and all things Indianapolis sports out of The Athletic. He's a longtime Indianapolis insider. And did you write any books on Manning or anything? I want to promote some stuff for you, but I don't even know what the hell to say because you're so busy working. I don't even know. Did you write books on that stuff?
No, I wrote a book on the Colorado Rockies' first year. It's called Mile High Madness, and it's available on Amazon for about 3 pennies.
Perfect. Okay, well, that's the only book he's written about the Colorado Rockies, if you care to go back and relive the 90s. In reliving this Colts-Ravens thing, and I don't have a lot of Indianapolis people on this week, I do want some insights into Pence with you being there and football and the knee and him leaving and all of that, right? But how is Indianapolis? How is life there and the Pacers? And you're sort of an interesting sports town like us with two things, a big convention town. I mean, part of your city goes because people come together and people can't come together. Even though you think Indianapolis, Hicksville in the middle, it's not Manhattan. Well, it is downtown when it's working, when it's functioning properly. So I'm not coming this week. I want to say that publicly. They moved my flights around and I just think I shouldn't come this week, and I've come 1,000 times to Indianapolis. But I'm wondering what I would see because I've been to Houston, I've been to Philly, and I've driven around a little bit. And the whole country's a mess, man. It really is.
It is. Well, right now things are pretty open in Indianapolis. We're in stage 5.
How many people will be at the game this week?
I think about 12,000.
Okay.
About 12,000. But, you know, I mean, look, Indy is struggling like everybody else. You talk about the tourism and the convention business that we do, and that's not happening. And so everybody's getting crushed here.
The only reason people would come to Indianapolis, literally, would be for a convention. Like it's been built for that. Literally, I mean, yes. I'm not making fun of it because a lot of my audience has never been there or has been pissing on it for 36 years. And I pissed on it for about 28 or 29. The last 10, I've made peace with you people. So I'm not coming because of that, But I would just say for what it is, I live in downtown Baltimore, Bob. I look out the window. We're a hospital community, which really plays in nicely for a plague. And we're, a university town, and we're a port city, And the port is still kind of active because stuff's happening like that. But, I live next to the Hyatt and across the street from the Sheraton. And do a lot of business with a lot of people that depend on this, and it's messy. It's really messy.
It's really messy, and I have the numbers have gone the wrong way here in Indianapolis, and I would bet that we are. I don't think we're going to shut down completely, Nestor, but I think we're going to shut down partially. I think we're going to go back to a level two or a level three or whatever it might be, just because the numbers. My daughter works in a hospital, and a very tiny hospital, and their COVID cases tripled this weekend, and that's really scary.
Well, you know, I wish you well. I wish I could come out. I said to my wife this morning, I said, I'm having Kravitz on. I'm probably going to tell them I'm not coming. And I mean, I haven't even told the Colts yet. They give me all the protocol papers, and I'm thinking, why am I doing this? Like, what? I'm not enjoying this. This is not fun, and it's not fun because Indianapolis. And my wife's like, they don't even have any good places to eat there. Screw Indianapolis. I'm like, no. I found an Italian place. I found an Italian place that Rick Majerus was on the wall. I went there with Luke like 2 or 3 years ago for the combine. Cause you know, I'm there for the combine. I've been there for 12 combines for crying out loud and a dozen football games. So I probably have been to Indianapolis 25 or 30 times.
Right.
Since the Ravens. I mean, at least once a year. So I don't hate Indianapolis, but I've never had like a place. Now I got like a place. I got a place. And my wife's like, you don't have a place. I'm like, no. What's the name of that place again? I want to find it again on the map.
Iarias. I-A-R-I-A apostrophe S.
Iarias. That is exactly it, man. And I think I made Kevin Byrne cry because I went in there and we got the pizza and the meatballs and whatnot. Saw all the old legends on the wall. And Majerus is on the wall eating a big meal there. You know, Kevin Byrne and Majerus were close. So I sent him a note and I said, this place is legit. Majerus is on the wall. If Majerus is on the wall in here, I can eat here, right? Literally.
Oh, and you know that Majerus has tried everything on the menu, often the same night.
Oh, man.
He's a beautiful man.
You know, you had a beautiful thing going there in Indy because of your basketball thing, too. Like, there's a whole basketball side of you I don't even know about because I think of you as the Colts guy, right?
Yeah. Well, I do a little bit of everything. I try to branch out. I'm a hockey. See, what people don't know is I'm a hockey guy, and I'm sitting in a city that doesn't have NHL.
Dude, I'm looking at you in that hat, and I want to start singing. Bam, 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 bam. So, yeah, right? So you see that logo when you hear the song is what you do.
Brass Bonanza, baby. Brass Bonanza.
Brass Bonanza. Kravitz, I love you, man. Take care of your heart. Take care of the heart of Indianapolis out there. You know what? Maybe a playoff game somewhere down the line. I don't know. I hope that sometime, and I sort of made up my mind I'm never coming to the combine again. I made that up long before COVID just because I wasn't getting any work done. It's a drinking event. I don't know the coaches. Just on and on. I'm get off my lawn. But the Iarias thing, that's something I need to do with you. So my bucket list, when I come, we're going to go to Iarias and get a proper pizza, okay?
How about a chicken parm? Their chicken parm is to die for.
That too. In the name of Rick Majerus.
We're going to do it all. Give me everything on the menu.
Bob Kravitz is at The Athletic. You can find him in Indianapolis, and you can find him before games and after games. And, you know, when the Colts are good, he's usually in front of it. Ness at BaltimorePositive.com. That's the new email address. I could go on and on about Planet Fitness and Royal Farms and Sporticulture and Tarka Ice Cream and Pizza John's, but we'll step out, take a break, and let them do that for you, Baltimore Positive.